Good morning, sports fans. Fill up that coffee cup and that bowl. Sit back and relax. Because live from Colorado, it's time for the Sports Offensive. I love LA.
An homage to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I was going to toot the horn of the wonderful start for LA until Joe Kelly decided that he wanted to screw that up by ruining Ross Stripling's shutout that he had going, as well as blowing the lead a second time when Dave Roberts decided to try and let him redeem himself. So rough start for Joe Kelly to blow two leads in one game, not the auspicious beginning that the Dodgers were hoping for. But anyway, everyone, thanks for tuning into the show. JP, I don't know if you've covered any material yet. I know that we had a little slight delay here, a little snow delay, a little weather delay. It's snowing here in Colorado. Wonderful little reprieve here to remind us of winter before we headlong into summer and the brutal 95-degree temperatures, although, hey, much better than my hometown where it's going to be 115 or 120. So roads were good, JP, or Nate driving up?
Yeah, roads were fine. There were some wet spots here and there, but kind of weird after two back-to-back 70-degree days to wake up to some snow on the ground.
Yeah, right. And it's like, it's about right time to start running again, and then all of a sudden you got to stop. So, JP, how was the weather down there at the Veranda High Point? Did you get a lot of snow?
You know, we got a dusting of snow. The pool is actually empty right now, which I'm really pissed off about. So I'm looking at the pool. It's only on the brush. And what's that?
Cannonball.
Yeah, I'll break my neck if I do that.
Exactly.
But we got a little the brush that's still out by the pool. We do have a little snow on it. I got to tell you, it was 76 the other day while I was driving around. I was sweating my butt off. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
But, hey, the good news is that baseball season is in full swing.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament is coming down to the Final Four.
Sure.
And we also would like to preview for our listeners out there basically what we kind of see happening this baseball season in terms of where the divisions will end up. And if we've got it off the top of our heads, maybe we'll run over who we think might win the awards for each
league. Cool.
So, not an easy task by any means, but a fun one. And so I think we should start off with the NCAA. And, you know, I see, you know, Duke won again, and Duke did move forward. But that's the second game in a row that Duke, like, barely squeezed by.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just kind of shocking to me that they're running into this. And without Zion Williams, there's no way they'd still be alive.
No way.
Or would they be better because they wouldn't be relying on him? I don't know.
No, because I think they've shown when they were without him, they didn't do well.
Right.
He got injured. Remember that shoe? Right? He had that shoe blowout. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This blowout hurt around the world.
They lost at least once, if not twice, during that mess.
Guys, they actually lost. They lost twice to North Carolina. They lost that game. They lost the other game. They're 4-8. Well, I'm sorry. Their last eight games, they won 4 of them by 1 point or less.
Wow.
So in the last games they played, they're not playing very well basketball.
But they're winning.
Right. Doesn't matter how you get there, right? It matters if you get there. So
that's why I didn't pick them to win. I figured that Zion would get hurt before the end of the tournament, and that would do it for them. However, my other two brackets, I had North Carolina. And
that's an auspicious beginning.
Hurts. And I do still have one bracket live with Gonzaga, and it's about a 50-person pool, and I'm currently in 12th, but I have a chance to finish in first still.
That's always good. You always have that max point still be as high as anyone else.
Yeah, my max points are like 355 or something in that league, and I can win.
That's weird how different the counting is. Like in my ESPN tournament bracket, I have 1,560 points available. So.
Yeah, this one's weird.
I still have all four of my Final Four alive, I think. I think I have Kentucky, not North Carolina, out of that division. So I know I picked Purdue in my Final Four, so they have to win one more game.
I can't believe it. I had Purdue going out in the second round because, man, the Minnesota had their number this year. Minnesota beat them twice. Minnesota's barely a top 50 team, in my opinion.
Well, it's all about the matchups, right?
No, it is. For whatever reason, Minnesota just must match up well with them. But I figured, if Minnesota's beaten them twice, they're going to lose to somebody early. But they haven't.
I think it's just like fantasy baseball.
They surprised me.
You don't have to have the best team. You have to have the best team compared to the team you're playing that week. So, you know, that always brings up an interesting point with fantasy sports, which is, is your top scorer your best team, or do they have the least points against? You know, it's always kind of a yin-yang. I mean, usually you have to be a decent scoring team.
Well, I think it's both. I mean, if you, at the end of the year in all three sports, if you look at that point differential, that's typically the playoff teams. So
well, I was just thinking,
have,
I was thinking fantasy sports.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
I'm just thinking to myself, you know, yeah, at the end of the season, all the playoff teams typically score more than they give up. And that, you know, that's how you determine who the playoff teams. Now, I know there's been a few times in baseball where there's been teams that have, you know, had more runs against than runs scored and made the playoffs. And I'm sure it's happened in the other two sports as well, but it's more rare.
Definitely not common to have your run differential be negative in MLB.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. It's unusual.
We should run over our trivia question. GP, do you happen to have the notes and do the trivia question, or are you not logged in?
You know, I am not logged in right now. I was looking for it, and then my internet went kind of collapsed on me when you guys were having all your problems there.
Hey, all good. I got you back.
Maybe it's just Comcast. Maybe Comcast is this internet thing just all screwed.
It could be. Well, we decided.
That's what I have. I have Comcast.
Okay. Yeah, we decided to go the baseball route, obviously due to the time of year. So, here's the question: on opening day, the Los Angeles Dodgers set a record by hitting 8 home runs. What was the previous record, and who were the two teams?
And it's weird. I actually went through a few different websites to find the answer to that, because I mean, I'd heard that there was a record, so I wanted to see like why it was a record.
But you couldn't find who the old record was, and for a while,
right?
Like, yeah,
everybody just said it was their new record was broken because they heard somebody else say that, but they didn't actually see what the record was.
Right.
And then I finally found one site, and they said the most since the live ball era, and it's like, well,
okay,
live ball era started in like 1920, but that doesn't tell me what the old record was.
Yeah.
And so I finally found it on another site.
When? Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder when they consider the start of the live ball era. Does it post?
You know, guys,
I think it might be
1940.
I think you're right. I think it's
it's not that old. Not that late.
Isn't it? Okay.
I don't think so, because the live ball era was Ruth.
That's true.
The Murderer's Row was 1929.
So then it had to be around like 1915 then.
I'm guessing 1920.
Yeah, okay. Huh. Well, I'll look it up.
1929 is when the Murderer's Row Yankees, right? So I guess I would say if everybody out there has the answer, go ahead and give us a call. 929-477-3204. If not, we'll be trying to Google that if possible and get you an answer. Let's see. So, sorry, I got this thing kind of out of order here.
Marcus nails it.
1920?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of cheating because obviously that website said since 1920 in the live ball era.
Oh,
so
well, there you go.
That's why I make that assumption. But, I mean, they didn't actually say that's when it started.
Got it. Yep, dead ball era from basically the start of baseball to 1919 or to 1920 and then 1920 to now.
And what's interesting is that in your 20s, your balls are very lively. But when you hit your 70s, so that's when the balls are a little dead. So, or at least the swimmers are. I don't know if March Madness was good these last 2 days. I hope so. I have been obsessed with baseball. I'm so excited to watch baseball again. Dodgers have been looking real good, except for Joe Kelly, as I mentioned earlier. And my fantasy team is actually playing well, which makes it a lot more exciting. And I'm not sure. What do you got? What are you showing me there? Oh, he's the squirrel sleeping in the thing.
So my dog, Betty, is a little quirky. And she's just easily agitated by the wildlife. And there's this little squirrel that just haunts her. And it's quite entertaining because it'll run along.
Same squirrel.
It's the same squirrel.
Because it was there when I was there, and it would make noise whenever she stopped paying attention to it.
So we have this huge ash tree in our backyard, probably 60 foot tree. But he'll run down the trunk and then run back up and just taunt Betty. We have this little plant hanger. It's probably about 6 feet up. My wife just sent me a picture of the squirrel taking a nap in the holder. It's literally, its eyes are closed.
Isn't it cold?
Yeah.
I guess it's a squirrel, so maybe they just live in. I thought they like burrowed up into their little cave areas, and they live inside trees, right?
I think they try to when it's cold, you know.
I don't know. I've never seen a squirrel nest. You know, I guess I never really looked.
They build them.
But I do remember when I was watching Betty that squirrel went out of its way to drive her absolutely
It's pure entertainment.
Yeah. Now, did you guys see the basketball games on Thursday? Because I mean, I barely. I don't think there was any huge surprises. Well, I'm sorry, there was. Texas Tech beating Michigan was kind of a shocker. Like I was saying earlier, I have Purdue going to the Final Four, so that didn't shock me that much. Tennessee was playing pretty darn well, and they had been for a couple of games. So
yeah.
And then Zags won, Virginia won over Oregon. That's not a shock.
Oregon gave them a fight, and that's a good team.
Yeah.
That's a well-coached team. That's 2 years in a row Oregon has pretty – they've outdone themselves. Last year they went pretty far as, I think, a 12 seed as well. JP, can you confirm that?
I think you're right on that one. They went really far. They made it to the Elite Eight, I believe, last year. They came up one shorter this year, didn't have the seniors that they had last year. And my bracket is busted. I had UNC. I actually texted you guys a picture of my bracket. There's so much red on this paper. I'm not sure if I'm looking at blood coming off my fingers or what.
I just wish I had done in a real big money pool because I actually am having one of my better years. But that's probably why, because I didn't care about who I was picking. But
mine was busted the first day. So
that was because he can't. No,
Nevada.
Nevada. That's what it was. Yeah, you had to go in Final Four.
I had him Final Four.
Yeah, that'll hurt.
Yeah,
who is your UNC as your champion?
In that, I mean, I haven't been above like the 17th percentile since day one in that bracket. But
that's
I do
awesome.
Have, like I said, I do have one other bracket. I have Gonzaga winning it, and I have a chance to win it. And it's about 50 people, so it's
that'd be some good money.
Yeah, and you can buy to three brackets each. So. There could be some good dough coming that way, from that way.
Yeah, I know
we'll
that. I know that Captain Chavez has a $1,300 winning league.
Yeah,
he's in second place. I just checked it yesterday.
Yeah,
so doing well, and best of luck out there. Wishing him luck. I don't need to wish him luck. Just hope your teams are playing well.
Yeah.
And
you got this, Chavez.
So, JP, did you see the games on Thursday? Because, like I said, I was working late, and then I watched baseball, and I didn't see a thing.
You know, I have three TVs in the living room here, so I had all three TVs on, and I watched a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball. I saw pretty much the whole nine yards, and I know, boy, Roy Williams and North Carolina last night. Auburn is no joke, man. Auburn is no joke.
Oh, I was actually wondering about the Thursday games. Did you see any of those?
Oh, the Thursday games. You know what? I mean, I had Michigan advancing. They obviously did not. MSU obviously held their own.
Did Michigan get rolled?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
They were like 44 points or something. Is that
right?
Yeah,
they lost by at least 10. It was a lot.
Well, I'm
going to
tell you this: the Thursday night games were pretty much uneventful. I mean, the teams that won, and they won big.
Yeah, I mean. You know, there was the Oregon game. How much did Virginia win by? Do you remember that?
Well, you know, Virginia only won by about 5 points, I think. I think it was 82-77.
That was the one game that was close then.
Yeah.
Gonzaga kind of made quick work of Florida State, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
really surprised at because Florida State has really two big guys down low that gave Duke fits all year. I mean, obviously they didn't beat Duke, but they were within 10 points of Duke every time they played them.
Well, you know, yesterday morning when I was doing my SSS, I was reading an article about 538, and they were predicting that Michigan State was now the best favorite to win the tournament, not odds like betting wise, just probability. And however they do their statistical analysis or whatever, I thought that was interesting.
Well,
but I mean, Michigan State did win, so they got a chance to do it.
Well, Marcus, I mean that was going to be. I mean they got to play Duke. Michigan State kind of got screwed in the bracket. They have to play Duke to get to the Final Four. If they beat Duke, they're odds-on favorite to win.
Well, if there's anybody that can beat Duke, I would think that Michigan State would be a good candidate. I mean, that or Virginia. I thought Virginia would have a good shot, but that would have to be in the title game.
Yep.
Yes, yes. So that's the way the brackets lay out.
Texas Tech game is going to be the one to watch. That's going to be some serious points scored in that game.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is the order they have them in, or the order of the bracket, but the games must be – so Duke and Auburn must play their two games – not they don't play each other, but their games must be on Sunday, right, because they played last night. So I'm guessing today is the Purdue and Gonzaga game. Anybody know?
I don't know.
Purdue should be on today.
Okay. So Purdue versus Virginia, I don't think Purdue should have – I don't think it should be a crazy shock if Purdue is to beat Virginia. Virginia kind of is kind of a not a brittle team, but
they seem to always be a top 10 team, top 20 team every year. And I, you know, especially over the last 5 or 10 years, they've had the number one seed more than once.
Right, last year they had it.
Yeah,
and they lost in the first round.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know how that ended last year, right? Was that the first ever 16 seed to lose? Yeah,
man,
first
we should take a bet on that one, huh?
Yeah, that's
money line, baby.
That would have paid out nice. Virginia, Purdue, I think that could go either way. I think that'll be a good one. Duke, Michigan State, as discussed. Auburn, Kentucky. JP really likes Auburn, but boy, Kentucky's a force to be reckoned with, obviously, with Big Johnny C. And Gonzaga, Texas Tech. What do you think about that one? Do you think Gonzaga rolls home, or do you think they have some work cut out for them, JP?
I think that's going to be one of the more entertaining games of the weekend. Those are two teams that can just flat out play. Texas Tech has been there all year long. They faded at the end in the Big 12 championship, but not getting there. But I think they're right there with Gonzaga. Gonzaga is great. They beat Duke earlier in Maui this year, back in November. I love the matchup. It's going to be a great game.
Gonzaga seems to be kind of a sweetheart pick this year. A lot of brackets picking them. You know, they finally got their number one seed. They were Cinderella for a while, and then they're kind of moving up. And it seems like everybody thinks that this is the year for them to take a step forward, which I think goes against them. I think that they've lived kind of with the Tom Brady style chip on the shoulder kind of thing, and that they're always undervalued or underappreciated, and that helps them kind of rise to the occasion. So I don't know if it'll be a helpful thing for them to be in that number one seed, other than I think that they have one of the easier paths to get to the title game over a lot of other brackets that had at least one other powerhouse in it, you know, because you feel like you've got the Michigan State. Wasn't it Michigan State? Oh, maybe. Which bracket are they in? See, I get the brackets all confused. I was thinking the one bracket had UNC and Kentucky, right?
JP, put them right.
So Duke and Michigan State and another
Kentucky
one.
Was with UNC and Auburn.
And Auburn. Okay. So, you know, these other divisions, you know, you got a major hurdle you have to get over at some point. And Gonzaga doesn't seem like they have that until they get to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So that's a helpful thing.
I agree.
But I just don't know if I don't know if they're suited or if they're used to the lead role, I guess, or being a favorite. I don't know if that'll affect them differently, but best of luck to them. Cause I mean, it'd be nice to see Gonzaga finally get a title. Love to see anybody besides, you know, Duke, UNC, Kentucky, Kansas. I mean, those are the schools I don't want to see get titles cause they always seem to get them. So
yeah.
Michigan State, JP, help me out on this. They haven't won since Martine Cleaves, right?
Mateen Cleaves. Yeah.
I think you're right there. Michigan State beat Michigan twice to win the Big Ten championship. They're playing some of the best ball in the country right now. And I have Duke beating them in my bracket, but you know what? My bracket is so busted, I don't even care. I'm taking Michigan State over Duke. Now, you mentioned Gonzaga. I really like the way Gonzaga had the easiest bracket. Duke had the toughest bracket to go out. Being the number one overall seed in the tournament, Duke had the toughest bracket. Gonzaga had the easiest bracket. So right now, Gonzaga, as we sit, it's going to be at 4:09 our time on TBS. That game will go off, and it's going to be a shootout. I look at Texas Tech and Gonzaga as being a shootout. Purdue's going to play Virginia at 6:49 tonight. Mm. Here's the problem with Virginia right now. Virginia can play defense all the time. Their shooting is under question. They are the number three scoring team in the country, but they do not show it every game. That's my biggest lag on Virginia.
And I think it's, you know, I wanted to share with everybody. So, you know, before the tournament started, I did a few bets, futures bets on some of the teams in the tournament to see if they win the whole thing. And I actually did throw down on German Marquez for baseball for the Cy Young Award winner. I threw down on him. Obviously, that's a long shot. I did get a bet in early enough on the Nuggets. If the Nuggets happen to win it all, which I know is not, no one would think that it can happen. Boy, I'll win a lot of money if they hit that one and off a small bet. I took Villanova, JP, and unfortunately they didn't produce for me because they had a real nice payout. Kansas.
Well, I would have told you out on that one.
Well, you know, got to take a shot on the big ones every once in a while. I do still have Michigan State alive. I do have Kentucky alive, Gonzaga, and Virginia. So I got four teams left with my futures bets. Obviously, they pay different odds. I think Gonzaga pays about $70 on the original bet. Tennessee pays $95. Michigan State pays $150, and the Kentucky pays, I think, $120. So
go Michigan State.
Yeah, go Michigan State. That's who I'm rooting for.
Definitely.
Anybody but Duke, because I didn't bet on Duke. So, you know, because Duke was the only team before the tournament started to have a negative odds bet instead of a positive.
I almost have to laugh about that because all the, like, you know, bracket experts and, like, you know, nobody took Duke because I think everybody thought that they were all going to take Duke. And so, like, it was like, hey, who do you take instead of Duke? Who do you take instead of Duke? And then I think it honestly had an effect on the overall brackets, not having as many people picking Duke.
Right. Well, I think people were also not sure about Zion. You know, I mean,
true,
if he wasn't ready to rock and roll, if he got fatigued, if he went down or anything like that.
Right.
And but he's played very well. So he's kind of the only reason that they're still alive, as far as I can tell. Auburn versus Kentucky, I think will be probably that'll be the closest game. I think you got the two teams that are the most, like, running on all cylinders, I guess you say, or have the joints lubed up perfectly.
Hey, they're just playing hot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I look forward to watching that game. And like I said, I have been sucked into baseball these first 2 days, and I haven't always been like that. And I'm telling you, having a fantasy team that looks good right from the start, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes it so much more exciting to watch baseball when you feel like you've got something rolling. And like I said, I mean, the Dodgers hit 8 home runs on opening day. That didn't hurt. So that added a lot of enjoyment to my viewing experience. So before we move on to baseball, did you guys want to review anything else in regards to the March Madness?
I'm trying to pull up the SEC standings right now because I believe Auburn beat Kentucky this year once, but I do not know that off the top of my head. Let me just pull this up real quick here.
Is Kentucky in the SEC, or was that just a non-conference game?
No, they're in the SEC.
They are, okay.
Yeah. Oh, they're both in the SEC.
By the divisions in basketball compared to football.
They're a little different.
Man, I'm trying to find their schedule, and it's pulling up all kinds of different games right now. Here's what I'll say about the tournament right now, because I only have about one more minute here until I have to go, and I'll be back at 10:30. I really like Michigan State. Make no mistake about it. Gonzaga's got a great shot because they have a weak bracket, and if you look on the other side, without UNC there and Auburn there, Kentucky-Auburn's going to be a great game because we've already seen it twice. Actually, I think we've seen it three times because I think they played in their SEC tournament. So, up top, Purdue, tough team to figure out, guys. Really tough team. They got two bigs down there, and they can hold their own in Big Ten play, but can they hold their own against Virginia with a lockdown defense? So, that's all I got to say. I got to run. Thank you, guys. I will be back on at about, 10:30-ish.
You know what, JP, is living the struggles of a porn actor. You know, you have to be ready when the director says
I'm getting fluffed for a shoot right now. I mean, I'm getting fluffed up for a shoot, man. Let's go.
Well, enjoy your shoot and have a nice cocktail when you're done, and then hop back on the show, and we'll still be here, probably still talking baseball by the time you get back. So
you probably will be. All right, guys. I will see you guys in just a little bit.
Have a good time out there, and say hi to. I don't even know any current porn stars anymore because the American ones are all ugly. Well, they used to be.
Let's see. I always like good Gemma Jameson.
Dude, she looks weird. She looks nothing like the Jenna Jameson from Howard Stern's Private Parts. She was a goddess on that movie. I mean, she was as hot as they get, and she looks weird now. I mean, I know she can hold much weight, lost a bunch of weight, but
plastic
other than that,
surgery maybe.
Yeah, her face doesn't look like the same person.
Yeah,
you know,
Meg Ryan.
See, I like the porn star.
Yeah. You know,
I like Abby J. So
I'm not sure if I know which one Abby J. is. Like I said, I just don't.
You
I don't
call
keep
it,
up on
though. You'd have to really search it.
Sounds like Mark's got his afternoon plan.
I think Mark's looking at the computer already.
Thank God for snowy days.
You guys. All right, JP. Good day to you, buddy. You're talking a little bit.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Good rest of the half hour, man. Thanks.
You got it.
So Kentucky Wildcats beat Auburn both times. So,
okay, yeah, they played twice.
They beat them 80. Oh, it's going to start making noise.
Well, it's hard to beat a team three times in 1 year.
Very hard, very hard. So they beat them. Where is that? Where did it go? Where's? Oh, there it is. So they beat them 80-53. So that's
yikes.
A pretty big butt whooping. The other game, they won.
If that's a ball,
82-80. So,
oh,
real close.
Really
game.
Close.
So I
was that game
a good
in
here.
Was that game in Auburn?
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
It was on
the
road. They didn't
game,
do as well.
Yeah.
So interesting. Huh. Well, fingers crossed.
Do you know
battle.
Where the game is being played today?
Not without looking it up.
Yeah. Just that curiosity. Well, while you look that up, I'll jump into baseball here. And man, opening day, guys. Came on Thursday, as we all know, and it's one of my favorite days of the year. I did not get to go to the Rockies, or I'm not going to be able to go see the Rockies. Their opening day is this Friday, their home
opener.
Wow,
they have a whole week and a half on the road.
Yeah, they start out on the road. But I think it's smart for, you know, Major League Baseball, like, to take cities like this because they, you know, they probably wouldn't have played last night had they had a game.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be
yeah.
interesting.
So I think they try to avoid these cold weather cities in the schedule in the early part of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. Do you think it'd be harder to play in snow than rain because of the visual factor?
Well, I know. I've done both. So
I've never played a game in snow.
Yeah. The factor with the rain, obviously, the wet is kind of the real problem because – you know, the base paths start getting wet, and that's when it starts to get dangerous with guys with their cleats on and slipping on a bag.
Yeah. Downfield.
Catching a cleat in the mud. So that was always quite a bit more dangerous, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It just depended on the snow, though. You know, like, I think it happened to me twice, actually, as a kid, where we had snow blow in during a game. And, you know, our season was – when I was real young was in the fall. And so, you know, it would be, you know, late October when we had like our playoffs and stuff or early October, sorry.
Yeah.
And, we had a couple snowstorms and I don't remember it being quite as difficult. Although playing in the outfield was really difficult. I remember, trying to catch a fly ball out there and I dropped it.
Yeah. I just seemed like you'd have to like squint and stuff because
of
the falling snow. And
yeah.
So unless you were wearing glasses, I don't think you'd be in good
shape.
Yeah.
I think I caught most of the rest of the ones that came to me that game, but the very first one went right over my head.
That happens to me every time I play outfield because I have no depth perception. So
that was back in the day. I was probably, because that was before I was a catcher. So
man, remember when you were young and it was easy to move?
Yeah.
You know, that was fun.
Yeah,
we were just talking this week about how we're starting to have elbow issue, you know.
Glory days.
Right, we can just go back inside and chug a few brews. So I keep looking at the clock and thinking we're past the halfway point, and I forget we didn't start until 9:30.
Right.
And I keep wanting to jump on the trivia question.
Well, opening day.
Yeah. So Jacob DeGrom out duel Scherzer. They both pitch great.
Yeah.
Nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, two runs over seven innings is nothing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But DeGrom, no runs. I mean, he is –
well,
he looks better than last year.
I think he just told us and told the world who the best pitcher in baseball is.
Absolutely. And, you know, they were smart to lock him up. They've got him locked up now. And the Mets can't be as bad a hitting team as last year, right?
No way. Not with all the additions they made.
Right.
Who did they bring in?
They brought in Cano.
A couple of trades. Robinson Cano, Jay Bruce.
They still have
Cespedes too?
Yeah, but I think he's hurt again.
He's hurt again.
For some reason I heard that he wasn't going to be playing for a while.
They got
the catcher,
Ramos.
Oh, they got Ramos. Okay.
Yeah.
Ramos from the Cleveland, Cincinnati, Chicago? Is that where he was?
He was in Tampa, I think, last year.
Oh, he was in Tampa.
Then in Washington previous to that.
Okay.
But another player the Twins hadn't let go, and then he got good. Sorry.
How good was David Ortiz before they let him go?
Well, not that good before.
He wasn't. Okay.
No.
It was not until he went to Boston that he blossomed
behind
Manny.
After they let him go, yeah.
Right. So,
DeGrom, unbelievable. It seems like he's almost had an uptick in velocity over the last 2 years. I think I did read that somewhere that he's gone up over a mile an hour on his fastball. And
now you played a higher level of baseball than I did. I never made it past, it was called majors. So basically like 10th grade, I think it was, or something like that we were done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I ever faced anything faster than 60 miles an hour. And that I don't think I even saw that often.
Sure.
What is the fastest you've seen, and how well can you describe the difference of 1 mile an hour on a pitch?
That's a great question. So, as far as fastest pitcher I ever saw was a kid named Darren Erstead. Do you remember that name at all?
Yeah, isn't he a major league pitcher?
He was a major league, but not a pitcher. He was a position player.
For the Angels?
Yes.
First base or outfield?
He played all over.
Okay.
But he was the point being is he was not a pitcher in the major leagues.
Right.
But this guy, he threw like, I suppose probably about 85 would be my guess.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And there was another guy, and
Did you get a bat on the ball?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. I only tried once.
I only swung one time,
but no, I did not hit it.
Okay.
Yeah. He blew it right past me.
I don't even think I would. It would be so hard if you hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
To know how fast you have to react. I mean, you have to start swinging almost like within one tenth of a second after it leaves his hand?
The big problem was, like you said, is the contrast. Because even in high school baseball, you know, we probably had some guys that threw 70, 75, you know, on our team.
Yeah. So sometimes you take batting practice against them.
There's a huge difference from 75 to 85. Huge difference.
Right. Well, I mean, think about some of the pitchers. They talk about having the most devastating changeups, right? And they're like, because the arm angle and arm action looks exactly the same as the fastball.
That's why Scherzer is so good.
So, and a lot of times, those pitchers' difference is not more than like 6 or 7 miles an hour, but it causes hitters to be way off. Like sometimes they're shooting way out in front.
Oh, yeah. And I think you only get that deception at our level or at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the major league level, like I think, you know, there's kids that do it in high school and even a little younger than that, that are able to, but it's more not necessarily about the speed change as it is the spin on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the curve ball is just something totally different to a kid, you know, than a fastball. And the changeup is something that you just don't really see because from 70 down to like 63, it's not really that big a difference as like 95 to 90 would be.
Right.
You know,
so it's not as effective because you're not taking that much
off.
Right.
Exactly.
Or you're making it too slow. So it's too easy to hit.
Right. Yeah. The point is the faster that the ball is coming in, the more dramatic the change from mile per hour to mile per hour.
Absolutely. I think, that would make perfect sense.
So, I mean, facing, an 85 mile an hour fastball versus, you know, even guys that threw hard on our team threw 75, you know, so, seeing that come across the plate was,
and think about the fact that we're talking about these changeups in the majors, the changeup is 87 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's just slow enough of the fastball to make you off get off your time.
I remember I was probably close to about 10 years out of high school, and we went to a batting cage, like my cousins and I, and they had a fast pitch major league, and it was 90.
Wow.
And we got into, and not one of us even got a foul ball.
Wow. I mean, you almost seem like you had to like start with your, like the bat half cocked, like right here, you know, and then just like
you have to have
slap
an incredible quick twitch reflexes. I mean,
yeah.
I don't even understand, because I would try to do that. Like you could time it after the second time, like standing in there and be like, okay, here comes the pitch. But even though you knew when it was coming, you couldn't hit it.
Right.
So you had to like anticipate it.
Wow.
You know, and so then trying to anticipate it, I was out front a couple times actually, you know, but I never even,
to jump on
I didn't
it.
Even get a foul ball. We probably saw 200, 250 pitches between
wow.
the four of us.
I want to try that someday.
It was fun.
Just to try and get a bat on it, you know.
Yeah, and this
maybe even bunt it to just see what it feels like.
Yeah, and it wasn't even softballs. It was they were actual baseballs.
So the smaller ball, you mean.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That definitely is. You can hit them harder, but it's harder to hit because right less surface area. So
yes.
It looks like a little BB at that point.
Oh man.
So I guess it makes it feel a little
less. And
it had
some action on it.
It was spinning. Huh?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it kind of makes you think, like, when you see that guy swing at that slider that's way out of the zone, you're like, what an idiot. Why is he swinging at that? You got to realize, man, imagine what that actually looks like as a batter. Because I can tell you, like I said, I didn't even get that high up. But I remember facing this one left-handed pitcher, and I'd never seen a legit curveball. I had seen some balls that dipped.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a curveball was until I saw this guy throw it.
Like a 12-6 type curveball?
I ducked out of the way. Because I thought I was going to get
hit
in the face, and I got called a strike. And there was kind of some people were snickering, and I was like, what the hell was that?
Oh, yeah, that happened to me a few times.
And also, every person I had faced that had thrown any kind of a curveball was right-handed.
Yeah.
And I'm left-handed. So having a curveball coming from a left-hander was just – it was the most wild thing I can describe. I mean, how much a ball can move. You don't even notice on TV how much it's really moving.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, like I said, at like, you know, 12, 14, I think it's like 14-year-old level or 13-year-old level. So, yeah, just is crazy. I was going to ask you. So let's say you were going to be a pitcher, or your son, let's say, were going to be a pitcher, and you had to focus on three pitches to try and be successful. What three would you try to teach them or learn yourself?
Well, I think obviously one version of a fastball, whether that's a two seam, a four seam, a riding, a rising, a sinking, whatever seemed to come more natural to the kid, you know, I would try to lean towards, you know, that would be my number one pitch, because that's the go-to pitch, right?
Right.
That's the one that's the easiest to control. It's the go-to pitch. So that
and
would
two
be,
seamer cuts backwards, right? Like
for
a screwball.
Yeah. So for a righty pitcher, when he throws a two seamer, it tends to like float back towards the right when he throws it over the plate.
So if you're a right-handed hitter, it would come inside
to
you.
It comes in on you a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And a fastball, four seamer just goes straight. Rising ball obviously goes up, and not many people have those. Johan Santana, I think, is the last person I remember that had a really good rising fastball.
Yeah,
and that's because I mean
that's
tricky
more
when it goes up.
That's more deception than it is actual rise in the pitch, I think.
Ah,
yeah.
So it's just, you know, well, again, you don't have to be that far off to get a. I mean, a bat has to hit a ball square usually to get a hit.
Yeah,
unless you get like a dying quail.
Here's something that's kind of interesting as a baseball player too is. It's hard. I'll try to explain it as, okay, so there's two or three different types of pitchers. Okay. So like when a guy throws a 93 mile an hour fastball, I've faced other guys that throw the same 93, you know,
yeah,
but it's heavier. It comes in heavier, and it's hard to explain what I mean, but it seems faster. You know, so for whatever reason, if it's arm action or spin, or, you know, they're just taller and closer to
the
plate.
No, the spin definitely makes a big difference.
I don't
difference.
Know what it is, but there you'll see it. And you can ask any major league player that, you know, there's a guy that throws 97, But, man, it's a heavy 90. Like, he throws a heavy fastball, and it seems like 100. And I think some of that also is because they throw a really good changeup. Mm-hmm. And so the contrast really stands out, and that's kind of the go-to pitch is that changeup.
Well, that's what made Pedro Martinez amazing,
and
was
Johan
that his fastball
Santana
was like 98, 99, and his changeup was like 83.
Yes, yes.
So it was just like, it's almost like an E-fifth pitch.
And
know?
It looks the same. You know,
right,
so if
right.
it looks the same to the hitter and you have to prepare for 95 and it comes in at 83.
Well, just imagine, even if you're slowing down your swing a little bit because the ball is slower, you know, you've already started your step forward.
Yeah.
Your timing is not going to be right. That just shows how good these hitters are if they still hit the ball out, you know.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But, I mean, these guys, the talent on these players is just staggering.
Yeah.
You also, they're so much stronger than they look. I think the TV makes them not look as tall and big as they and mm-hmm. imposing as they are. Because, mm-hmm. man, those guys.
I mean, I told
them,
you, I went to spring,
it, so.
When I went to spring training a couple weeks ago, all of the guys were 6'6 on the mound.
Yeah,
all of
right.
them. I mean, there was maybe one guy that was like 6'1", 6'1", 6'2". The rest of them, you know, easy 6'4", 6'5".
Makes you wonder
above.
If you could jump ahead 55 years or 75 years or something like that, and they're still playing baseball, if, like, the pitchers would be, like, 7 foot, right? I mean, like,
maybe.
We keep getting bigger, it seems like, but there's got to be a max, right?
I
mean,
there has to be, yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
So, what's the thing? Oh, so your pitches. So what was your first pitch?
So fastball, right? I think
right.
just
but
the traditional
four
seam.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest on a person's arm.
So
and
cutter, is that the opposite of a two-seamer?
Yes.
Okay, so that one goes the opposite or goes cuts away.
It's like
a slider.
Mini slider.
It's okay.
That's the
super
best way to describe it. It's because it has a late break on it. That's
mm-hmm.
a big part of it, but it's also a, you know, just a real subtle curve. You know, I would say there's three types of pitches that are all the same, and that's a slider, a slurve, and a cutter. And they all kind of have that same sweeping motion. So for a righty, you know, when they throw it, it crosses from right to left across
right.
the plate, right?
So it's going away from a right-handed hitter.
Going away from a right-handed hitter. So, yeah, the cutter is a heavier pitch
mm-hmm.
and it late break, where the slurve is actually almost a lot lighter. It's almost like a curve
right.
slider. That's what, hence the name, right? You know, but it breaks quite a bit and breaks early, you know, whereas, but it's that same
Randy Johnson.
It's that same
pitch.
Motion, though, right? Where
right.
it's right to left.
But when Randy Johnson was at his best, he would have that ball and guys would be flailing at it.
Oh,
and it was near their like
his slurve.
Like their,
you mean?
Yeah, it was almost already at their knee.
Yeah.
And they were like swinging out over the plate.
He had a slider and a slurve.
I didn't even know that. I just know his slider was wicked.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, it just like people just looked baffled. Plus, it was significantly slower than his
well,
fastball.
And his delivery was unusual because he came from about,
yeah,
I don't know, 40, 45 degree angle. You know, yeah, he had a real.
And
like,
he was so long. I mean,
yeah.
His arms were so long.
Well, yeah, at 6'11", yeah.
So he was like, you take away one more foot. You know, it's like, hey, when you're talking about a total of 60 feet and 6 inches, taking away a foot of distance is a big deal.
Well, especially
you know?
When you're already on a mound. It's almost like
right.
it's almost like he's standing on a second mound.
Right. Kind of like 7'4".
Can
up
you
on
imagine
that
trying to hit a fastball or if you're a lefty and you got to try to hit like a slider where the guy's standing on two mounds?
Right.
I mean, that's what it would seem like because he's that tall.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, at least for the lefty, at least the slider's coming in on you.
I mean, that's
well, no, he was
seems,
left-handed, wasn't he? So
yeah,
he's going away from
it just
lefty.
Seems impossible. Like, you have to just swing at every pitch and hope he throws a strike.
Dude, I'd probably just bail out of the first of the way of the first pitch, just dive out in the ground because I was afraid I was going to get hit, you know? Just cause
or you just stand
staggering.
In there and hope you'd get hit, you know?
Right.
And just
maybe.
take the
depends on what it feels like. I don't know. Man.
Oh,
I've been never hit by a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Oh, God, it hurt.
I mean,
never been hit
by
90.
They break ribs or break ribs.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I've been hit by 70, 75, and that is incredibly painful.
Yeah. I mean, a baseball's hard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a softball's hard, but a softball ain't nearly as hard as a baseball.
Not even close.
I mean, it's
yeah.
– I don't know if you've ever felt a baseball. Those things are dense. So,
yep. Got hit in the face by one time, too.
All right. But so what were your other two pitches then?
Okay. So, yeah, great question. So my number two pitch is a changeup. I think that –
What kind of change?
I think the easiest pitch and the easiest one to throw is a circle change.
Okay.
Which is basically gripping the ball with your three fingers at the top, your middle, your
it's like
ring.
Making an okay sign.
Yes, exactly.
On a baseball.
That's exactly what it is. It's an okay sign. So you make that with your hand, and then you grab the ball, and that circle is kind of on the top of the ball. What that does is it kind of gives you some downward snap on the ball, and it also gives you a lot more friction. So you have, you know, quite a bit mile per hour off the pitch, and you just try to throw it with the same arm motion.
And I'm guessing that it's also like having the less fingers on it does reduce speed because it reduces spin. Don't you think?
Well, I think the more fingers that you have on the ball, there's more friction. So it slows the pitch down.
So when they're throwing the four-seamer fastball, you think you're just holding it with two fingers, basically.
Yeah, any fastball is with two fingers. Multiple.
So adding the finger, you think, is what slows it down?
Oh, I guarantee
by
it.
By getting the friction.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why they used to call a changeup a palm ball.
Oh, I thought that was a different kind of changeup.
Well, it is.
Okay.
But that was kind of the original changeup, was a palm ball.
Gotcha.
And that's what guys did, is they'd stick the whole ball right back, and they would grip it like, you know, like a can of beer almost, you know, mm-hmm. where you just grab the ball and you're using all four fingers on it. There's no kind of rhyme or reason to where they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a palm ball changeup. That's I think where it was born, you know.
Right.
Now the circle change, what we were calling with the okay sign, that's another version of the changeup. And I think for whatever reason, that's given guys the ability to snap that ball really good. You know, it's a little different than a palm ball. So I think there's more spin on a
more control.
Yeah, a little more control.
And then an Ephus pitch is a changeup, but it's like a super change. But nobody really throws those. There's
it's
one
a changeup
guy,
curveball, though, because it
goes really high up.
Oh,
yeah. And then goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that's crazy about a curveball. Like some curveballs go side to side. Some curveballs go straight up and down.
It depends on
arm
delivery.
And a true curve should be a 12 to 6 drop.
Yeah.
But most guys do more of a 9 to 5.
Yeah, if you want to watch a nice 12 to 6 curveball, watch Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, yeah. Kershaw's got a great curveball.
Yes.
Well, hopefully he still has it. We'll see. Sounds like he's progressing, though. They're saying that he's getting better. So, need to get him out there. Urias hasn't gotten any starts yet, darn it. And I drafted him on that
but
hope.
But he still has two to go, doesn't he?
Two what?
I thought he still had two starts.
Urias?
Yeah.
He wasn't showing any as of yesterday.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So maybe he's got him now. Quintana still wasn't showing any starts either.
He's going to have two starts next week, I saw, Urias.
Well, as long as if he gets one start this week, I'll be happy, but they don't have him scheduled for one yet. So
yeah, I don't think he'll get one this week, but he'll get one this coming week, which is part of the
the first period.
Yeah, still part of the first period. Yeah. So you'll be all right. He'll get one at least.
I just want to see him, too, because he's kind of there. They're stud in the wings that they're waiting to have explode, you know?
So So, yeah, changeup would be my second pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, man, it just depends on, like, kind of the natural throwing motion of the person that I'm trying to teach. But it's got to be some sort of, you know, off-speed curveball or slider. Moving pitch to deceive the hitter. So I kind of lean towards a slider because I think it's probably not quite as hard on the arm as a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be my three.
My thought would be like I would want to be more about, not more about, but I would like, my reasoning would be for fastballs, I would have two of them.
Yeah.
And it would be, one of them would be a cutter.
Yep.
And the reason I would pick a cutter, Mariano Rivera and Kenley Jansen, both
pitch.
Of them basically only throw cutters and they've been very successful.
Yep.
And so now that may speak to the fact that maybe it's really hard to throw a good cutter, and, you know, so maybe you can't just do it. You just have to get lucky and have the right kind of hand or right arm.
If I was Aroldis Chapman, I would have been on the phone 3 years ago to the Mariano Rivera. You teach me how to throw that pitch.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? You know?
Yes. That's what I would have done if I was Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah. I mean, Mariano Rivera did it 14 years or something like that. And he was always good. He never had a bad year. When he retired, he was still good.
You know, sorry, I'm just kind of going off on anecdotes, but one of my favorite moments, and for some reason it's just emblazoned in my brain, was watching an All-Star game, you know, when I was probably in my 20s, and Mariano Rivera and Roy Halladay were like having this conversation, you know, and you could just kind of watch it. It was like pregame, you know, and I could just tell that they were talking, and they happened to interview Holiday, I think, after the game. And, you know, somebody asked him, like, hey, what were you guys talking about? You know, and he's like, oh, he's like, I had Mariano teach me how to throw a cutter. And I just always, that always stuck with me, that pitchers, like, they go to other pitchers and ask, you know, like, hey, how do you throw that pitch? You know, and, like, they want to learn because, man, I mean, Roy Halladay was no slouch himself, obviously.
No.
The late Roy Halladay, just made the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I just, that for some reason, that was always like emblazoned in my memory. I'm not sure why, but I thought that was really cool. I just thought it was really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So my second pitch, I was going to do a sinker, and I thought in today's game where players are constantly trying to elevate their launch angle.
Yeah.
What better pitch to have than a sinker where they're going to constantly be on top of it and giving you more ground ball outs. And I know people love strikeouts. I know that people want to strike people out. Hey, man, the more ground ball outs you get, the longer you're going into a game.